ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Chapter 25, titled The Characteristics of King Puranjana. Text number 3. Prachiniya Bari Samshataha. Prachiniya Bari Samshataha. Karmas Asakta Manasam. Karma Ashakta Manasam. Narado Adhyatma Tatvanya. Narado Adhyatma Tatvanya. Kripalu Prat. Kripalu Pratyabodayat.
Kripalu
Pratyabodayat.
Kripalu Pratyabodayat.
Prachiniya Bari Samshataha.
Prachiniya Bari Samshataha.
Prachiniya Bari Samshataha.
Prachiniya Bari Samshataha.
Karmas Asakta Manasam.
Karmas Asakta Manasam.
Karmas Asakta Manasam.
Karmas Asakta Manasam.
Narado Adhyatma Tatvanya.
Narado Adhyatma Tatvanya.
Narado Adhyatma Tatvanya.
Narado Adhyatma Tatvanya.
Kripalu Pratyabodayat.
Kripalu Pratyabodayat.
Kripalu Pratyabodayat.
Kripalu Pratyabodayat.
Prachiniya Bari Sam. Unto King Prachiniya Bari. Shataka.
Shataka.
O Vitura.
O Vitura.
Karmasu.
Karmasu.
In fruitive activities.
In fruitive activities.
Ashakta.
Ashakta.
Attached.
Attached.
Manasam.
Manasam.
With this mentality.
With this mentality.
Narada.
Narada.
The great sage Narada.
The great sage Narada.
Atma.
Yatma.
Spiritualism.
Spiritualism.
Tatvajna.
Tatvajna.
One who knows the truth.
One who knows the truth.
Kripalu.
Kripalu.
Being compassionate.
Being compassionate.
Pratyabodhaya.
Pratyabodhaya.
Gave instructions.
Gave instructions.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. While the princes were undergoing severe austerities in water, their father was performing different types of fruitive activities. At this time, the great Saint Narada, master and teacher of all spiritual life, became very compassionate upon the king and decided to instruct him about spiritual life. So we read the translation responsibly. While the princes were undergoing severe austerities,
while the princes were undergoing severe austerities
in the water,
in the water,
their father was performing,
their father was performing
different types of fruitive activities.
Different types of fruitive activities.
At this time,
at this time,
the great Saint Narada,
the great Saint Narada,
master and teacher of all spiritual life,
master and teacher of all spiritual life,
became very compassionate.
Became very compassionate
upon the king.
Upon the king.
And decided to instruct him.
And decided to instruct him
about spiritual life.
About spiritual life.
It's a short and a sweet purport by Srila Prabhupada. we are going to discuss on this purport a little bit. So all of you be attentive, because there will be question and answer session on this purport. Okay? It's a very interesting purport. That's what the purport itself is very, very good, and we are going to discuss on this about the purport only. So all of you please be attentive. As pointed out by Prabhavananda Saraswati Thakura, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Kaivalya or merging into Brahman effulgence is just like going to hell. He similarly states that elevation to the upper planetary system for the enjoyment of heavenly life is just so much phantasma gloria. This means that a devotee does not give any importance to the ultimate goal of the karmis and the jnanis. The ultimate goal of karmi is promotion to the heavenly kingdom, and the ultimate goal of jnani is merging into Brahman effulgence. Of course, the jnanis are superior to the karmis, as confirmed by Lord Chaitanya, Koti Karmastha Madhye Eka Jnani Shrestha. One jnani or impersonalist is better than many thousands of fruitive actors. Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 19.147. Therefore, a devotee never enters upon the path of karma or elevation by fruitive activities. Narada Muni took compassion upon King Prachiniya Barisa when he saw that the king engaged in fruitive activities. In comparison to mundane workers, those who are trying to be elevated to the higher planetary system by performing yagyas are undoubtedly superior. In pure devotional service, however, both karma and jnana are considered bewildering features of the illusory energy. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam En Tasmai Shri Guruve Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tadati Svatata. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So, what is going on here? Because in the purport, it is said, the princess, the father, you know, who's the princess, who's the father? Okay, so what's going on this chapter? This chapter is just beginning. We are on to verse number 3. So what was happening in the previous verse? Sorry, previous chapter, 24. What is happening? What's the title of the previous chapter? Look into your, you know, it is not a closed book examination, it's an open book.
Chanting the song.
Of?
Chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva.
So, Prachiniya Barisal, okay, he, if you want a very quick introduction, we are going back, revisiting chapter 24, text number 9 and 10. Can you quickly read number 9 and 10?
The great sage Maitreya continues, my dear Vidura, Havirdana's very powerful son named Barisa was very expert in performing various kinds of fruitive activities. He was also expert in the practice of mystic yoga. By his great qualification, he became known as Prajapati.
Okay, Nayak. So he's one of the Prajapati. He was continuously doing fruitive activities, that is karma, basically cupid activities, you can say, you know, it's karmi, basically. But he is following according to the Vedic principles. Okay? That's why there is also a reference by Srila Prabhupada towards the end of the purport, where he says mundane bhaktas. So we are going to talk a little bit later on this. Yes, Prabhu, what's the next verse also? 9 and 10.
Yeah, so we just now read the 9. I will read 10. Maharaj Barishad executed many sacrifices all over the world. He scattered kusha grass and kept the tops of the grasses pointing eastward.
So what he was doing is, King Prachaniya Barisa, he is coming from the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, then Prithu Maharaj, and then Prachaniya Barisa is the which we have spoken, which was spoken on verse number 9 and 10. Now Prachaniya Bharat was doing continuous Vedic sacrifices, right? One after another. He finishes one and then he will start another one. And then he will start another one. Then he will start another one. Why is he doing that? Why is he doing a lot of austerities or Vedic sacrifices? Because if you do Vedic sacrifices, you will get two advantages. What are they? One, you acquire a lot of piety. In this material world, if you want to do anything, you need piety to do it. You can't achieve anything without piety. Even to walk, you need piety. To talk, you need piety. We have all acquired piety in a previous birth. Otherwise, we would be dumb and you would be blind. We have got some piety. To get a job, to come to Australia, whatever we be. Everything needs piety. That's why the human being, human birth is given to us. So one is piety. Another one is, you can store lot of future pleasure by doing austerities, by doing Vedic sacrifices, you know. You are assured that in the future, you have lot of pleasure in storage. So for this reason, Prachaniya Bharat was continuously doing, he will stop, he will start one sacrifice, he will finish, and then he will start another one, like a continuous, you know. Like you see sometimes a chain smoker. Have you seen that? With the two hands, you know, continuously. So, but that is a chain smoker. But this is our chain fruitive activity performer. Difference is there. So, coming back to this verse, when it says princes, who are the princes?
The 10 sons that he had, the daughter of
the... Yes. So Prachaniya Bharisa had got 10 sons. They are known as Prachetas. They were very united, unlike the Kali Yuga brothers. Okay, very united. Wherever they go together, they do everything together. Obviously, they eat separately, not in one place. But they were very united in their mission, the desire to serve the Lord. That is okay. Now, who is the father? It says, you know, while the princes were undergoing severe austerities in water, their father was performing different types of fruitive activities. Who was the father? Who is the father? King Prachaniya Bharat. So, what's happening here? On one hand, the children, the sons were doing austerities in water. So what they're doing austerities? They're not doing ordinary austerities. Going back to one verse. All the Prachetas, Pracheta princes, simply stood in water for 10,000 years and recited the prayers given to them by Lord Shiva. How many years? Last week, when I was about to go into the altar, obviously we have to take a shower. And when I went, I realized that the hot water was not worthy. Okay? But I have to take a shower. So I was panicking, you know. Sorry, I should not be commenting. These days, you know, our Brahmachari ashram is so, you know, secured that you can go to Vaikuntha, but you cannot enter Vaikuntha. Because for Vaikuntha, you need Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. All the 7 doors will open. But there is only one door in our Brahmacharya ashram. It will never open. You should have an electronic system. which I don't know. So what can I do? I was panicking at the time. Luckily, you know, somehow we got hold of our maintenance, Lord Vishnu of the temple. Who is that? Parabrahma Prabhu is the maintenance. Parabrahma Prabhu is the temple maintainer. So it's almost like Lord Vishnu, you know. He appeared and then we spoke and all that. And because what I was doing, I was scared, you know. I was turning, you know. I thought there will be a little bit of warmth, you know. I was going, let's put in my hand, it was cold. Then putting, I said, I can't have it. Because in the temple room, when I come, I'll be shivering, you know. Then I'll be thinking, oh, the pujari is out of, you know, bhava. But I know my condition. Okay? So, somehow, you know, I was basically, you know, had a quick shower, quick water. So, what I'm trying to say is, with our Kali Yuga body, I can't even take shower in cold water. They stood inside the water, not hot water. Did it say hot water? Cold water. So, just imagine, you know, 1 minute or 5 minutes, I cannot stand. But 10,000 years is to into cold water. And therefore, Lord Vishnu also thought, I will also enter cold water. And then he came into the water and came to Asha. Okay. So, here what's happening is, the sons, the 10 sons are doing severe austerities. Right? But the father is doing routine activities continuously, one after another. Okay, so in this purport, there is a progression which Srila Prabhupada is talking about. Okay, we'll discuss very, very, anyway, somehow I like this purport, maybe because I was trying to read a few times. Then only I understood, you know, how Srila Prabhupada's purport is so intense and so meaningful. When I studied once, did not understand. Twice, thrice, and some reference and all that. Then I was trying to understand this, you know, because it's very hard. Let me understand. And then I was trying to make some deduction, okay, of this purport. So, here, here, it says, Srila Prabhupada is saying, of course, the jnanis are superior to karmis as confirmed by Lord Chaitanya. Koti karmista madhye eka jnani sheshta. One jnani or impersonalist is better than many thousands of fruitive actors. Okay? Now, elsewhere we know, Srila Prabhupada always says that, you know, karma yoga, karmis are better because they use the senses in the service of the Lord and eventually they've got the potential to realize God and all that. Here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, a jnani is better than a karmi. But understand that a jnani speculates, he doesn't know about the Lord because his realization is incomplete. There are three kinds of God realization, correct? What are they? What are the three stages or three means of understanding God? Brahma realization, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Now, the jnanis, they know only Brahma. They know that the Lord is fully effulgent, the light coming from His body. That's all they know. And they don't know that it's coming from the Lord. All they know is light. 1,000 watts Philip lamp. Krishna is made up of 10,000 watts Philip lamp. That's it. They don't know anything beyond that. Okay? And they want to take shelter of this light because of incomplete knowledge. Brahma realization. And always it's content. Okay? Because we, as spirit soul, we are very active in nature. What will you go and do in a 1,000 watts room where it's full of light? How much can you stare at it? You have to take prasadam. You have to talk to devotees. Okay? So they fall down. So it's content, basically. Now here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, and therefore Srila Prabhupada is quoting that in this purport. Why? What is the reference? Why is he making that point? Why is, again, Srila Prabhupada making a point that the jnanis are better than karmis? Not only that, he's saying that the karmi, that the jnanis, okay, whatever the karmis do, they get only 1 millionth of the effect of the jnanis. He said the koti, right? 1 million. So whatever the karmi gets only 1/1,000,000th of the benefit of the jnani. So he's putting jnani as a very high level, Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? So what is the reason for that? Why is he comparing this?
So at least they know that they're the soul, not the body. So they are doing some spiritual activity. And they can purify the body.
Correct. And in fact, they're doing based on the Vedas. Okay? Because in the last verse, Srila Prabhupada talks about mundane workers. We'll come back in a minute. Okay? Because, see, karmis are better than mundane workers. What is mundane workers? We see in this Melbourne, anywhere in the world, the current population. They go to work, they come back, take the money, take care of the family. That's it. This is a mundane worker. This is not according to the Vedic principle. According to the Vedic principles, yoga ladder, the lowest rung is karmis. You know, they do everything, but according to Vedas. But these mundane workers, they're not even following Vedas. So therefore, they're at the bottom rung. So here, okay, that's one point. Anyone else?
The fruited workers are doing everything for the body, because then again to enjoy, they have to be in the body.
Yes.
Whereas the jnani is at least coming out of the body platform, even though it's still the Brahman realization. But some spiritual realization and some connection to, even if it's Lord's effulgence only, whereas the fruited workers is doing all the Vedas, following all the austerities, again to get into the body only. So what's the use of the knowledge which do not give you progress?
Correct. That's also right. He's stuck in the mental world, you know. He's doing only for the body. There's no understanding of soul whatsoever. Because we have to understand that this body, okay, which is comprising of the gross body and subtle body, both is given to us by the material nature. Through Krishna's arrangement. It's not given by, you know, it is given by Krishna by the material nature. The material nature is given this gross body, subtle body, and that will be taken away. So therefore Krishna is saying you are a soul. You are not the gross body or subtle body. It's like a telephone. I give the phone to you and afterwards I'll take it back. So material energy is given this body. And the body is constantly growing. At the old age, the body will be taken away. It will be, you know, it will be burnt or whatever maybe, you know. Later, the questions. Sorry. Because I've got some line of thoughts, Prabhu. Sorry. I will take the questions later. Okay? So that is also right. Because if you are in the bodily platform, you keep rotating in the cycle of birth and death, and there is no way for you to understand that you are a spirit soul. And therefore, jnanis may be better. Yes, Prabhu, anything else? Anyone else?
What I understand from the purport, Prabhupada is giving that comparison to show, in comparison to devotee, how low the standard of devotee work. By showing that even from impersonalism it's so low, and what to speak of from devotional platforms, very low.
Yes. Almost setting the point.
Point.
Yeah, sorry, you're telling the point, Prabhu. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were asking a question.
No, no. Tell me.
From comment, no, if there is related to this question, you can answer. Otherwise, you know, Because what happens is, are the questions comment later, Prabhu, if you don't mind. Is it related to my question? You're answering there?
You go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay, sorry, Prabhu. Prabhu? Krishna Prabhu?
The happiness obtained in fruitive activities, that is, for the happiness of time rather than that of Brahmananda.
Okay. So, what I thought is, here, Prachinya Bharat is doing fruitive activities, right? And in the next verse, you see, this is a link. What is there? At that time, the great saint Narada, master and teacher of all spiritual life, became very compassionate upon the king and decided to instruct him about spiritual life. Now, Prachinya Bharat is doing fruitive activities. Okay, it's a karmi. Now, if someone is doing addicted to coffee, we have to tell him not to drink coffee. Right? If you keep on telling him, don't drink coffee, don't drink, it's bad, you know, he will get angry with us. So, first, he wants to tell that there is something better than karma yoga or karmis, you know, for the fruitive activity he is doing. There is something better. So, he is saying that jnanis are better. So, this is the approach, okay? Jnanis are better. Then, what is the first line of the purport? According to Prabhananda Saraswati Thakura, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Kaivalya or merging into effulgence is just like a hell. So here we are saying karmis, okay? Jnanis are better than karmis. Then a devotee is saying jnani is like a hell. So it's completely ruled out. So why are you doing something where it's something like a hell? And then comes the mundane workers. So the hierarchy is mundane workers who are not following Vedic principle. Then comes karmis who are following Vedic principles, but according to the Vedic scriptures. Then comes jnanis because they've got some understanding about the soul. And then comes Srila Prabhupada, bhakti. Because when it comes, when you see everything through bhakti, this becomes inferior. For example, mundane example. There is zero, there is one. Two, everything has got value, right? If there is a checkbook for 1 million, if you don't put zeros, it's only $1. Zero has got value, actually. So zero has got value. But when compared to one, zero value is inferior. Though when compared to two, the value of one is inferior. But when you compare to the value of 10, what is the value of 0 and 1? Much inferior. So, if you see, excluding bhakti, don't take bhakti into consideration. Don't take Krishna into consideration. Every mundane workers, I am going to office. I am working. I am not cheating. I am doing, getting money. I am taking care of mom. What is wrong? Nothing is wrong. I'm Australian citizen, right? I'm following rules and regulations. I've got a permanent resident. I'm also driving my car. I've got a license. I'm going through the green light, not through red light. So I'm a good citizen. Anything problem with that? I'm paying rent and living. I bought the house. Nothing wrong. And that level is the mundane workers. Then above that is karmis, where I follow according to the religious principles, Vedas. I get married according to the Shastra. I produce children according to the Vedas, you know. I do offering to the demigods. I please them because demigods are the one who gives us all the necessities of material life. I take care of them. I go to Durga temple once a month. Anything wrong? Then jnanis are better. Because they know that they are spiritual, they are different from the body. The body is going to deteriorate over a period of time, whether you like or not. But soul is a part. It's a soul is spiritual, that's it. We can't say part of Krishna because Krishna is not in the picture now. Soul, because we are different from the body, soul, and the soul is superior. It doesn't decay. It doesn't die. Okay, it's all good. But when you compare to Krishna, who is the source of everything, including material and spiritual, this becomes inferior. Mundane worker is not connected to Krishna. Because as a soul, we are part and partial of Krishna. This is our full understanding. If you don't have that understanding, if you are not connected to Krishna, then it doesn't make any sense. So the mundane worker is doing everything for his sense gratification, for his pleasure, not connected to Krishna. Therefore, it's a problem. And the karmis, they're doing everything, but still for their own benefit. Not again, not they may connect to demigods, but not connected to Krishna. The jnanis, they know, but incomplete realization of the Lord. The Prime Minister is coming, you are calling him as a secretary. You are the government secretary, you are not a Prime Minister. They are offending the Prime Minister. You have to respect him. You are the Prime Minister of the country. If you tell him, oh, you are just a secretary, you are just doing, you are a servant of the country. If you tell him, no, Krishna is like that. He's a Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Everything is coming from Krishna. The material, spiritual. This is how powerful. This is how powerful is Krishna, and that is how we are discussing. He's not an ordinary person to be lightly taken. Such a powerful Lord, Krishna. To understand him itself is, you know, one of the, you know, our previous gift, as Srila Prabhupada is a naturalist gift, to understand about the Lord. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. Which God did any Murga or Ganesh or Shiva said that you are Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke, you are part of me? Did Shiva say, Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke? Did Durga say that? No. Krishna says in 15th chapter, Mamai Vamsa, you are all part and parcel of me. Mamai Vamsa, you are Amsa. You are Amsa of me. Me. So therefore, Krishna claims a responsibility for all of us. No other God claims. And therefore, we should be indebted to Krishna. Because we belong to Him. And therefore, we have to serve Him. We are part and parcel of Him. And the other point is, karmis, right? They want sense gratification. They do anything for that. And because of sense gratification, they will be stuck in this world. There is no way they are going to go. But jnanis, the one plus point is, because of that detachment from the material energy, they have got a chance to proceed further. But if the realization is incomplete or if they have not lived properly, again there's a problem because of speculation. Speculation. Now, a question I'm asking you. Prachaniya Bharat is doing austerities according to Vedas. Okay? He's doing one Vedas, one austerity. He's finishing off. He's doing another one. He's doing according to religious principles. Why is Narada Muni going to disturb that? Just leave him alone now. What is the need for Narada Muni to go there?
Because you're going to be killing animals in the sacrifice.
That is later, Prabhu. We have not come there. Now he started the sacrifice. But Narada Muni is going to stop. That if we know the whole story, sometimes we go to the movie, right? If you know the whole movie, okay, second time when we go, we'll be pondering, oh, next time the villain is coming, the hero will be saved, no problem. But this is the first time we are seeing the movie for the first time. So Narada Muni is going to Prachaniya Bharat, that's the scene. Right? We have not read 10 cantos of Bhagavatam. We are just on to the 4th canto, verse 4.25.3. Okay? We should not release it. We should not know the climax now. Okay? It's just a move. We have begun. So why is Narada Muni planning to go to Prachaniya Bharat and disturb him? He is doing sacrifice. He is doing it. His son is doing more austerity. He is also doing according to religious principle.
Because of compassion.
Compassion. Why did the compassion come? Why he didn't go for other devotees? Why only Prachaniya Bharat? So many people are in compassion. There is some connection.
Because he is following the religious principles to the perfection. Following all the Veda and everything. Purpose is not enlightened, but
so many people were following religious principles. Daksha was also following. But why Narada Muni did not come and stop him? He could have stopped, no? All counter curses would have been stopped and his head would have been saved. But he did not go. Why Prachaniya Bharat? Prachaniya Bharat is coming from the line of Dhruva Maharaj, his disciple. So naturally he wants to save his disciple. This is how a guru relationship comes through this we study. See? How he is saving, the spiritual master is saving the disciple. Yesterday we had the auspicious of what? Yesterday? That's the puja of whom? So the guru protects the disciple. That is why we are doing. We are also a little bit selfish. In a sense, we serve the Guru so that Guru also protects us, you know. If the Guru says, you serve me, I will not protect you. I won't be doing it. So the Guru's protection is there. Imagine, Dhruva Maharaj has come and gone, his disciple, and then after that lineage, then Prithu Maharaj has come, after that all this, and now is Prachaniya Bharat and his son. Narada Muni is coming to save, you know, what is, you know, if you go through the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know how it is, you know. He has got a son. He got married. He has got another son. And that son produced another son. He produced 10 children. Out of these children, you see the, you know, read that. It will be so confusing. And Narada Muni remembers all that. He says, listen, this is a descendant of my disciple. Let me go and serve him. Because if Prachanya Bharat keeps on doing this, he is not going back to Godhead. Right? There should be some connection to Krishna. We are lucky because if there is some connection to Krishna, may not be this birth, at least next birth we'll go back. Or the next, in two births we'll go. There's a chance there. But if you don't know Krishna, we will never go back. That's the advantage of Krishna consciousness. So, Narada Muni is going because he is a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj and Prithu Maharaj too, you know. That is the reason he is going. What is? So, upper planetary systems, okay? Because I'm a chemist, I when I say I, we always mean UTI, upper respiratory tract. URI, you know? URT. And UTI is urinary tract, all this, you know? We have been used to that. So, when I say upper means upper respiratory tract. Now, in the upper planetary system, okay, in the upper planetary system, why would one want to go? What is the reason one does this austerities, right? Like the Prachanya Bharat, who does sacrifice after sacrifice because he wants to enjoy, okay? Now, why does one want to go to the upper planetary systems? Why?
Because of better quality enjoyment.
Yes. You know, the life there is very long life. You need not have to take, you know, multivitamins every day. Long life guaranteed. No cholesterol tablet. Right? Long life is given there. And everyone is good looking and beautiful. Okay? Very opulent. Their death will come, but after so many millions of lifetime. So just keep the death aside, you know. So this is the opulence of upper planetary system. So much opulence. So everyone wants to go there. But what about Krishna's abode? How is it? How it would be? The abode of the Lord.
Perfect.
In what way?
In every way.
Okay. In this world, do anyone have or anyone is living without any anxiety? For example, tomorrow I will have my job. One day when I go, I still have my job. My colleagues will treat me nicely. My manager will really appreciate all my work. Yeah? And I will finish off my mortgage in 5 years. Are everyone free from that? No. The material life means anxiety because it's external. The body is external to the soul. And therefore, there are planted problems which will surface up based on your karma. When I was 5 years old, karma is no karma, less. But as you grow, 10 years, one will pop up. 11 years, one karma will pop up. Because I can just tell personally, you know, when I was in grade 6, 11 years, one day I came from school and a severe problem, stomach problem. I was like a snake curling. I still remember that in my school. Because I come from the school bus, you know. School bus picked me up and, you know, they dropped me. They kicked me onto my house, you know. And my sisters were saying, what is that? I cannot bear this. So much pain. And then, when I went to the doctor around 8:30, that was, you know, the secure system, they said that I could hear, because I was lying, the doctor was saying, this boy has got appendix. At that time, I'm talking, you know, 20, 25 years back, you know, or even later, even 30, 35 years back. He has got appendix. If that is not operated by midnight, he will not survive. I heard this talking to my mother. No, but I did not bother about it. At that time, no philosophy, nothing, right? I thought, let me die, but I don't want operation. I tell you. Then I called my mother. I said, what is it? Mother said, nothing, some problems, some medication they give. No, I heard. I don't want operation. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I'll die. You know, I'm talking to my mother. You know. Mother said, don't worry. She convinced me, no, that's something, you know, problem. They'll give some. You know. So I was taken to the hospital, to the medical hospital, government medical hospital in Coimbatore. Because that's what they do, all the surgeries. So before, you know, surgeries will be done only in government hospital. Because if someone dies, you know, it'll be easier to, you know, write the certificate. It's not in private hospital. Now it is all, you know, system is all compliance. So all this. So it's very easy to dispose the body and put in the mortgage, whatever it may be, mortuary and all that. So they took me, you know, and all that. And then this person said, don't worry, everything is fine. Then I had my own doubts. My mother said, no, just check in. You know, but you know how, you know, suddenly all this, everything is gone, anxiety and all that. And then the doctor took me to the room and he put the injection, you know, anesthetic at the time. He said, okay, can you count 1, 2, 3, you know? I said, 1, 2, 3. And when I woke up, all people, my relatives, all are surrounded. And I touched my stomach. That's a big, you know, bandage. Those days, they put around 6 or 7 stitches, you know, cut the body, just like cutting our capsicum. You know? Cut it and put stitches, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Nowadays, I heard the other devotee, one of the devotees had appendix recently, you know. I said, did they cut? No cutting. What did they do? Just one hole and drilling. What is this? Drilling and then spotting out, you know, with a laser and cutting all this, you know. But I went through this mechanical system. Mechanical engineering. They cut it and trace it and cut it. And next day they showed me. It was nothing but a bladder. Appendix means it is just extra growth like a finger, which is full of impurities. Karma. Did I want that? Did I want that operation? I was struggling. And doctor said, 3 months resting. Rest in the sense, don't lift another. At the end, you know, but you know, no playing too much and all that. So it recovered, you know. Now even I've got this mark, you know, eight stitches. And then after 10 days, you have to go and remove the stitches. Then other problem. You will pull it out and it will be like, you know, like some of the punishment in hellish, you know, it resembles that. Hellish punishment will be like that. You know, 1 minute, you know, it will be too much painful, you know. Like that, just take it, all the stitches. And then it recovered and all that. So this is the karma will pop up. And then what happened? The following year, I thought, okay, I got rid of this problem. The following year, my throat was swollen because I used to eat a lot of ice cream. Appendix. Doctor said, within 1 week, if he doesn't do appendix, what is that? Tonsillitis. Appendix, this one. Tonsillitis, if you don't do, then a problem, you know, because it's got infection, and I think there is some infection, dots on the tonsillitis. So tonsillitis on the next year removed. Then the third year, I thought, what is to remove? Let them remove my head. Like Daksha, I did not know Daksha's story. Once for all, remove it. Problem. We don't know when the karma comes. Suddenly it pops up. So many problems. So these are all the problems, okay? Now all the problems will be eradicated by going to Krishna. In every way, as Prabhu said, every way. Because the body is spiritual. You can take, like yesterday, how many people taken lot of sweets, you know? Today you know. And tomorrow after a few weeks you will know. Your blood sugar will go up.
No, if you eat in limit, it's okay. If you keep on eating, no, like a nuts or something, you know, like a groundnut or something, you know. If you keep on eating, then there's a problem, you know. So this problem will not be there if you go to spiritual world. You can participate in Vyasa Puja. Well, Maharaj also will be there. You can still have Vyasa Puja in spiritual world with Krishna, but no cholesterol, no blood sugar, okay, and no medication, no chemist shop in this spiritual world. No chemist shop, you know, because everyone else in the world, this time when I went to India, everyone took me, you know, before some 20 years back or 15 years back when we go to India, they will come, so this is my altar, I'm worshipping Durga, Ganesh, whatever may be. This time, this is our medication cupboard. Do you know, are you taking this, are you taking this, are you taking D, vitamin D for the leg, vitamin E for the eyes, all this, you know, they've got full rack. I'm also surprised that the similar thing is also existing in our Brahmacharya ashram. full rack for medication. Right? From vitamin A to Z. So this won't be there in the spiritual world. No medication, no surgery. If I have appendix, no, Krishna will come and touch like this, it'll go away. No surgery. First of all, it won't be there. In case, you know, if in the spiritual world, if I keep on eating mud, you know, if I compete with Krishna, and even if I develop appendix, then also no problem. Surgery is done freely. It's no
spiritual
problem.
Body, no appendix.
Huh?
In spiritual body, no appendix.
In case, Prabhu. Just, you know. In case, because Krishna will eat mud, okay? We will try to compete with Krishna. I was trying to compete with Krishna and I was thrown into the material world. Okay? Now again, if I compare and if I eat mud, even if it develops, no surgery, I'm saying. So for that, at least we should go. No surgery. And finally, no doctors. No doctors in spiritual world. Okay? Because doctors are a big problem, right? They will experiment our body. Basically. So no doctors also. So for this reason, you know, bodily problems won't be there and we will not die. See, in the material world, all the relationships are very nice, but temporary. Husband has to leave the wife, wife has to leave the husband, children has to leave the mother, and everyone has to die, unfortunately. This is how the world is set up, right? All the relationships are temporary. Today the relationship is there, but tomorrow it may collapse or it may die. Very notorious place, dangerous place, material world. So, if you want permanent relationship, permanent place of residence, not Australia, it should be Goloka. If you want, let us apply for visa now. The visa is available in 197 Tank Street. Visa for material world. And the processing, one of the processing officer is Sukadev Prabhu. Process the visa. So get connected to him. And then you can go back. No appendix, no tonsillitis, no it is nothing, no, nothing. Everything.
Go with one way ticket.
One way ticket. Correct. Not coming back. Alright? Okay. Now we will stop here. If there is any comment, questions, corrections? Yes. Prabhu, you have some comments or something. Please.
I was only mentioning that even Gyanis have got some, they want some mystic perfections. It's a loophole. But they also fall into play. They want some perfection. Like Anima, Ganima.
Now what is the problem? Why it is wrong to have perfection? Yanis, if they have, okay.
Because no. Body consciousness.
Yeah.
Body.
But it's good, no.
And they want
perfection. But why it is wrong?
Because they want to profit, adoration, distinction.
No, the problem is, yeah, they don't know how to use it, and therefore, anything if you misuse in the material world, there is effect of karma. Anything except in the service of Krishna. the material energy reacts with us in the form of karma. You react to the material energy, right? The material energy is not good. Put it this way. The material energy is very violent. Understand? Anything you react to the material energy, it gives you a punch in the form of karma. That is how it is. So with the devotee attitude, the material energy is soft. Because everything you are doing for the pleasure of Krishna, and therefore the material energy is soft. Otherwise it will punches you. And one of the punches is like this. If you do austerities and if you get mystic yoga, you try to use and you try to manipulate the material energy. The moment you manipulate the material energy, you get a reaction from material energy. You should know how to use it. It's like a knife, doctor's knife. If you don't know, the doctor himself can cut his finger. Right? The doctor is not God. If he doesn't use his instrument properly, he can cut his own body. So that is why everything, if we use in the service of the perfectionist, who is Krishna, then there is no problem for us. Because we know he is at that high, perfectionist. When we use in Krishna's service, nothing to scare, nothing to worry. But if we use in our service, our extended family service, then it's a problem exclusively for our enjoyment. But you connect to Krishna and enjoy. Yesterday we had a very big enjoyment. It was all good, you know, and there's no karma. You try to go and arrange a party in the pub, St. Kilda pub, and enjoy. See the karma? Yesterday we had a very good party. It's a spiritual party, no karma. So anything you connect to Krishna, no karma. Otherwise, remember, we have to come and suffer. Not, one may think that, okay, this birth, you know, somehow I escaped through. But there is a next birth waiting. Because in the material world, we have to keep on looping around. It will not release us. Because every activity, the soul is bound by the material energy. We are soul, right? When you do a material activity, we are bound. Material energy binds the soul. Therefore, we should strictly not do any material activity. Preferably. When I say no activity means, activity connected to Krishna. In some form. For example, one may ask a question. That means you're telling me not to work? I should not work? I should become a full-time devotee? Not like that. If your propensity is to work, if you are an accountant, go and work. But connect it to Krishna by giving a donation. You're getting about 150k, okay? Give some k to Krishna. Then you're connected. But if you don't give any k to Krishna, then you're not okay. Problem. So that is the whole problem. Krishna has given the propensity, you work. Minimum interaction with the material energy. Because if you know that someone is bad, you try to be away, right? Material energy is a bad person. Unfortunately, that is how it is. So just watchful. Okay. Is there any other common questions? Yes,
Prabhu. So there are some people that say, like, I'm doing everything good, I'm not harming anyone. I'm running my family life, I'm not harming anyone. And following pretty much a good life, so why do I need you? So when I'm telling someone, they give me such excuses of not coming to help me. How do we respond to that? Or what can we do?
According to scriptures, right? If you don't know that you are a spirit soul, you are in ignorance. If you do something in ignorance, there is punishment. It's not an excuse. Unfortunately, we have to teach them slowly, you know, not in a harsh way. If they tell them good, give prasad, somehow connect to Krishna, somehow make them understand that they are a spirit soul. Because in ignorance if you do, right, still, you know, we are punished. You know, lack of knowledge. What is ignorance? Lack of knowledge. They don't know that they are spirit soul. And therefore, they are acting on the body. And therefore, the material energy will not keep quiet. It will again give you reaction. So the best way is, not to, you know, if they're too, you know, attached and all that, maybe very subtly you can give prasadam or something, you know. But initial stages, do not argue or no argument. Give some books, if they feel that they're arguing with you through through a verbal discussion, then better not to talk to them. Give indirectly books, prashadam. Ask them to come for a program. There's a big gathering there. Come, like that. Let them talk to other people. Because, but we'll keep on, if they rub them on the wrong side, then it will be like a friction. We have got a lot of resources, Prabhu. We have got books. We have got, big gatherings are there. Bhakti Rikshas are there. Take him, you know what I mean? Like that. But don't keep on preaching if he doesn't like. Indirect resources. Give him prashad, like that. Because it's very difficult. It's not easy, Prabhu. They are on that side. We are on this side. Material energy and spiritual energy are two different energies of the Lord. But somehow they are connected in the material energy, material world. See, body is separate, material energy. Soul is separate, spiritual energy. They are somehow connected in the material energy, material world, through the form of body and soul, through the false ego. So different energies, they have got different. One route going to Melbourne, one to Sydney, the different routes. So it's very difficult. There's so much attached, And not only that, from time immemorial, they've been attached to material energy. And the material energy will not leave them unless they come out. It's not easy. So we are all so lucky, to get this knowledge. And slowly, see, Vedic life means moving from body to soul. That's Vedic life. If they're not doing Vedic life, that means they attach to body. That is lack of knowledge. One should somehow theoretically and practically know that we are spirit soul. At least if you are not practically doing to some degree, theoretically you should know I am a soul. If you don't know that, very difficult Krishna conscious. Theoretically you should know. Yes, I am not this body. Because the body is growing. Changing. Okay, we'll stop here. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Nithai Gaurav Prema.